Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas.
I was really
happy with that opening song.
Yeah, I didn't mind it. We actually both went for percussion.
But that, I mean, sometimes that's good, you know. It's
I love that.
Primal, you know.
It's a band with two sets of drums. That's
dueling drum kits.
Yes.
I had a dream last night, Alistair, where I wrote a song, right?
Yeah.
And then someone was like, oh, Bruce Springsteen's going to play that song. And I was like, oh, that's great. And then I went to this concert where Bruce Springsteen was playing the song, and he'd really butchered it. I was so disgusted.
Oh, imagine that. And then, but then also imagine there's like reports written... You know, like news reports written about your song and how much it's like, you know, it's like they talk about it being a turning point in his career. It's like he's lost it and he doesn't have it anymore.
You know when like new songs make the news, make news reports.
I mean, that's,
Bruce Springsteen's got a new song. We interrupt this broadcast to inform you.
And they mention your name having written the song.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you have to fix it. The only way you can save face is by then going on the news and live on the news and performing the song yourself.
Oh, wow. It's pure, true form. Show everybody and how so much
now you
better
have to
is
get
than
yourself.
That Bruce Springsteen version.
Yes. Bruce Springsteen ruined my song. And then you have to like start playing it like, ding, ding, ding. Sorry, wait. Gling, gling, gling. So, wait, hang on a sec. Gling, 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 gling. You get the idea.
Yeah. I think, I mean, have we already pitched this before? That like, that we have, we interrupt this program for some breaking art? Like the idea of like newsworthy art. Somebody's written a poem that's so important that people have to hear it. It's a fundamental insight into the human condition, and it's urgent that we get this out there, right? Because we're always being presented with urgent news about events that occur in the other side of the world that don't affect us.
I'm getting a vague memory of it, of this idea.
Maybe we have done this.
But I do... I like it so much, the idea of break. So we interrupt this program for we have some breaking art.
Yeah, cool. Check out this fucking painting.
This, yeah. Whoa! Look at it. Look at that. And it's like, oh, listen to this riff and this song.
And I guess they have, you know, they could have art critics. You know, frontline art critics, much like a war correspondent, you know, who are just there on the scene as somebody unveils the art and they're responding to it in the moment. Because I think that's another problem is that art critics very often have a lot of time to think about what they're saying about the art. So it doesn't feel like it's a genuine response. It's far too intellectual. But I'd love to see somebody in there on the spot being buffeted, right, by the... By this, the initial impressions of this raw and, you know, live art currently happening.
Yeah. Also, whilst trying to stay completely, what's the thing that reporters are supposed to be? Like,
impartial.
Objective. Yeah, impartial and objective. You know? And so they just have to actually report on the emotions that they're feeling.
Yeah. Great.
You know, I'm standing here in front of Guernica and. You know, I'm feeling a sense of bafflement. at the new style that has been broken through by and the absolute magnitude of this painting.
I'm just noticing in the corner some figures that appear to be children, adding an extra weight and depth to my comprehension of the depravity of war.
Now, my producer has told me that the person here represents the Spanish people, and therefore that flows on to leave a whole bunch of new sensations in my body, which I will now describe. My fingers are tingling.
We framed this.
My buttocks are clenched.
Wow. Yeah. This art I saw Guernica, and let me tell you, it made my ass slam shut. You could hear the clonk as my ass cheeks slapped together.
You know how people usually consider me a bit of a slack-anused yokel. Well, I'll tell you what, it wasn't open today. I saw that.
I had to pick my ass up off the floor. Alistair, yes, I love how you went into that saying they've got to be objective, but what they were being objective about was their personal emotional response.
Yeah.
It's an interesting form of objectivity.
Yeah. But, you know, they're trying to not put any judgments on what they're feeling.
I'm feeling terrible and I hate it, but who's to say if that's a bad thing?
Well, I know, but they're not reporting on on dislike or like. They're just reporting on the feelings.
I'm feeling terrible and I hate it. And now, for balance, here's a psychopath who, when I feel terrible, loves it.
My brows are down. My fists are clenched. I am punching the painting. I wonder whether this is what the artist wanted. I am participating in some kind of performance artwork. Is this what the artist wanted?
Indeed intended. Oh, I see a security guard approaching. It's possible this is not what the artist intended.
I feel adrenaline rushing through my veins. I am picking up the closest thing I can swing at this man. I grabbed a man's handbag. I am hitting the security guard. He is putting his fingers in my mouth. I am biting my fingers.
I'm biting my fingers.
Are you?
Oh, I thought that's what you said.
I'm biting his fingers because he put his fingers in my mouth.
There have been, thus far, any works of art that have truly driven people insane just looking at it. That'd be pretty cool.
Once? Just a glimpse?
Just a glimpse of it. And it sends you mad.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it would have to be sort of some kind of like... Is this in a way what art is kind of supposed to be, especially visual art, some kind of brainal algorithm? We're dipping in and out into brainal algorithms.
I think...
That cause some kind of reaction in it.
Yeah, I think you're completely right. And... you are trying to bypass some of the security as well in the brain, right? You are hoping that you can get past the filters that have been built up to stop things from getting too deep into the brain and fundamentally altering its way of operating. And
because if it I makes it feel something...
Are we describing a woke mind virus?
Well, I mean, is abstract art woke?
Yes, it is. Crazy. Yes. I think abstract art is woke. I think the only art that isn't woke is
painting. Hyper-realism.
Yes, hyper-realism. Or not hyper-realism, just realism. That I don't like the sound of that hyper thing. That feels like it might push beyond.
It doesn't.
Back into the woke zone.
Ultra.
I worry that hyper-realism Infra. Might confront me with some realities that I'm not prepared to accept.
No, I think people say that hyper stuff is generally pretty boring because it's just picture quality, essentially.
Yeah, right.
Sometimes. But I had a thought because, I saw a video yesterday about a guy talking about painting, and he's like, look at this, and he drew like four triangles, and he's like, look, these are kind of, you know, there's kind of nothing there, they're just kind of four triangles, they're pretty samey or whatever like that, and then he draws rectangles around them, but he places the triangle in different places inside the rectangles, the different ones. One even makes it, you know, so that the rectangle just goes around a part of the inside of the triangle, and he's like, look, you know, this is kind of a bit nice. You know, and this has got, you know, sort of feels slightly different. And this over here, this is quite interesting. And this is, he's like, so how do we go from feeling nothing to now feeling something because it's in relation to something else?
Mm.
Now we're getting, all we're doing, it's just a triangle and a rectangle. That's making us feel something. And so there's probably a code that you can get into the brain and you can send some kind of coded message or some kind of message that is activate the insanity gene.
That we all have within us.
Well, there must be one.
Genetic insanity. Yeah, probably. You're probably right.
Genetic insanity does sound like a fun title for a sci-fi story.
Yeah. I like that idea. I also like the idea of you've got this painting that sends people insane, right?
Mm.
And you're on a, instead of a killing spree, you're on a sending people insane spree, and you're running around the streets flashing this painting at people and sending them irretrievably insane. It's, you know, I don't know if that's even a crime. It might be a loophole, right? Because you're...
It might be a loophole. What if you're... I think that there's a chance you'll get arrested if you're doing it where you've got the art and you've kind of like, you're wearing it maybe around your neck, and then you're wearing a trench coat around it, right?
Sure.
And you're flashing people like that. I think you might just get accidentally arrested because they might think that you're regular flashing people, right? And then they'll realize that actually they'll have to let you off on those charges because you're not. But then they'll go, wait, why are all these people insane now? And they might link it back to what you were doing.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's a crime to send people insane. To show that, I don't know if it's a crime to send people insane. To confront people with, you know, an unfiltered glimpse of the reality that lies beyond our perceptions. I'm imagining.
I know, but they'd probably get you on tax evasion or something like that. You know what I mean? They'll go, it's not good. What you're doing is still not good.
It's not good. It's not a crime.
I mean, it's not illegal, but come on.
It's definitely bad.
I mean, I think that they could probably, you know, press charges. There's probably emotional trauma there or something.
Yeah. A threat to the public order. You know.
Exactly.
I was picturing it, just so you know, in a bin bag with one of those yellow... zip tie things. Yeah, you're keeping the art in a bin bag, and you're sort of just like,
oh, and then you open that up, and you, how are you going to convince people to look inside a bin bag?
Oh, I think if someone ran up to you with something in a bin bag, and opened it up and said, "Have a look," I reckon.
Yeah, you know what I was picturing
this
then? Somebody doing it. Imagine this: so somebody comes out, and it's like it's a bin bag, but it looks really soft, but really heavy. And they run over and they go, check it, look at this. And it's filled with fresh dog shit.
And it sends people irretrievably insane. Just seeing that amount of dog shit. Because we've never seen dog shit in big piles that before. We've seen cow shit and horse shit in big piles, right? Because people are always cleaning up. But we're not aware of the emergent power of that. Of dog That's shit right. in that volume. A small amount is already quite upsetting to see.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I saw one earlier today. I pointed it out to Otis. And it was like, it almost looked kind of intestine-y or something like that.
Yeah.
And Otis was like, I heard Otis go, oh. I felt the disgust activate within the revulsion. And that was only one single one, but it was multicolored.
Do you think this is a sketch idea?
Well, I mean, I've written down the insane. I mean, I think that it'd be insane not to write it down, Andy. We have to come up with, how many is it? Five?
Yeah. I think from memory, it's five is the required number.
I mean, I think this is one of those ones where we'll look back and we go, there wasn't a lot there, Al. There wasn't a lot there. Like that. Whose voice do you think I was doing just then? That was you.
At least give me a chance to guess.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Who do you think it was?
Nobody knows. What about this, Alistair? It's a reverse cryptic crossword where they give you the word, right? And then they give you a number of letters. Okay. And then you've got to write a cryptic clue into the crossword that describes that word. Sounds pretty horrible, doesn't it?
Yeah. That's, I mean, yeah, that does sound really horrible.
I mean,
I'd be amazed if nobody's done this, but it'd be great for a crypt head like you.
Yes, a crypt head. You're, of course, referring to my love of the macabre and the fact that I go and sleep in graves at the cemetery.
That's right. I know you love to sleep with the brains. At the what? At the fishing headquarters? That's what he said?
Said at the cemetery. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Yes. That's what I said.
At the fishing headquarters. Wow. All right. What about this?
Okay, wait. But look, I mean, okay, obviously I want to, like, the cryptic thing, like, that would... That's just for people who really love cryptic crossroads. Because, like, I still don't know how to do them.
Sure.
You know, but you've done them for a long time. And this feels like it's one of my greatest weaknesses, is that I haven't figured this out.
Now, this is why I'm always able to get the better of you, Alistair. Because I know your greatest weakness, Andy.
I learned about something recently. And I thought, how have I not known this? And I bet you Andy's known this the whole time, and he's not even told me. He's probably seen this hole in my knowledge, and he's never told me.
And I've kept it from you. Tell me what it is.
Yeah. You must know about iambic steps.
I don't think I do.
I think you do, because I think in order to write bush poetry, which you do very well whenever you try, I think you need to... I think the whole point is, like, iambic steps are that thing where it's like a strong vowel and then a soft vowel or whatever like that.
I know about it.
Not vowel, but syllable. Two syllables.
Right. I haven't heard the word steps. I know about iambic meter and stuff like that. And I assume this is the same thing. But I don't know about it explicitly. I only know about it from, like, sort of what I've instinctively been able to. By the way, you know how I told you I'm going to do a bush poem show for the Fringe Festival? I realized something I want to do. I'm going to need another person because I want to write the first bush poem duet. You know, like I don't think that's been done. I don't think there are any bush poem duets. So I need
Will the words harmonize in some way?
Maybe. I want this to be don't go breaking my heart of bush poems.
Yeah. I think that'll be really beautiful, Andy.
It's exciting.
Then maybe you can release a movie called Bush Poem Duets, and it's just a copy of regular people doing bush poem karaoke.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then it'll be good.
Just like the movie Duets.
Just like the movie Duets.
What about this?
I think any movie that exists with music, you could do a version with bush poems.
Okay, let's think of some. Bohemian Rhapsody. Bush Rhapsody. Okay.
Well, we don't have to change... The name Rocket doesn't Man. Have to be... Rocket Man. It's about Felden... Felden Johns.
Yeah, okay.
And he's a bush poet.
Oh, this is great. I mean, it's amazing to think that the only thing that was really stopping that from being a fully realized idea was having a name for the bush poet. And now that we've got one, now that we've cracked the name,
we don't even have the name for the bush poem. It's just the name of the poet.
That's what I said. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then it's like, so just all the parts where it's just mostly that movie, but then all the parts where he's normally sitting at a piano, he's just sitting on a stool.
Mm, great.
You know, and telling a Bush poem. But in this case, in that one, that'll be really interesting because with Elton John, because doing a version of that where Elton John writes the music and then another guy writes the lyrics. So this one, he's like, so you'll have another guy who writes the poem and then he does nothing.
Well, no. I mean, somebody writes the words and he goes, da-da, 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 da-da.
Yeah.
That's what he
puts it in the regular rhythm.
The same rhythm every single time.
Yeah. Felden John. I'm writing this down.
Yes. Who's the guy? Bernie Taupin? Is that his name? Bernie Taupin. What a
something
name.
Something like that.
Bert, I think he somehow, Tarpaulin, that will be the name of
but
the...
he works with other people, and he works with making other kinds of musicals and stuff, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think he's got a diverse oeuvre.
I think he
wrote that
according
song.
According to...
We Built This City.
Yeah.
For
did
Starship.
He write that song?
He did, yes.
Oh. I didn't know that he had his mitts all over that.
Oh, yeah. Alistair, what about this idea? You know how people on the dance floor, they'll do that move, right? Where they... Mm-hmm.
The sprinkler.
No, I'm thinking of the fishing one, right? Where they pretend to hook somebody and drag them in, right?
Mm-hmm.
What about this? We release a sequel to that dance move, right? Where you flip, you've got the person, right? And then you flip them up onto a chopping board and you stab them in the under the neck and drag your filleting knife down through their guts and you rip out all their intestines.
Oh, yeah.
Are people releasing sequels to dance moves? scrape all
really
the scales
good.
Off the side of their body.
Yeah, you know what I think would also be a great one for this
is
you, instead of using a fishing rod, right, the person just stands there and they kind of like pretend to chew, you know, go down and eat a little grass and then come up and pretend
great.
To chew.
And you...
Like that, and you hold up a fake rifle.
Oh, great.
And then you shoot them and then they go and they get spooked but they're clearly hit.
Oh,
and then they kind of
no.
limp around. And then you have to
finish
escape.
Them off.
Yeah. And you have to pick up a big rock.
With a rock. So you've got a gun, right? You've gone towards hunting with a gun, but you don't have a knife. It's either gun or then you're back to the most primal weapon of all time. The rock.
Well, the problem
rock.
With the gun is hitting something with the butt of your gun. Is that then suddenly the barrel's pointing towards you.
That's true.
An antlered animal, I feel, you know, antlers, they're so unpredictable, the directions they go in. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's dangerous. But I do like the sequels to the fishing dance move, and that's all I was trying to add on to it. You know,
there's no criticism for me. I loved that idea.
But other kind of animal murdering, you know, dance moves.
What about this idea, right? Land fishing. You go to a paddock, right? This is awful, by the way. You go to a paddock with a bunch of cows in it or sheep.
Yeah.
And you put a hook into a big bit of hay, a nice thick strand of hay, and throw it into the field. And you wait till you get a bite from a big cow. And then you drag it. Oh, God.
He goes, oh, he's a feisty one.
Oh, you roll, drag it along the ground. Oh, God, that's thrashing about.
That would be a fun, humane way to do that.
Ah, yes. Well, let's see.
Like, I think for some reason, like, if it happens with a human and they eat it, but it's not like a... But it's not like a hook. It's just something that, it's like, kind of like in one of those like inflatable balloons, but inside.
That's exactly what I was
thinking.
Their
stomach.
Oh, that is fun. That is fun.
And then it kind of like, then you're pulling at them from their core, which is probably the strongest muscle in their body.
Of course. Yep.
I noticed before.
Maybe if it was
garbage.
Something, the lure is something that's very tempting to put up your butt, right? And so, because that would—I was thinking—what would actually be the best place to pull somebody from? probably around the butt area, so you could drag them. So you have something on the end of
I feel like if you had a thing that really goes out, like that really kind of, you know, I feel like there's probably a shelf in there that would act as a very strong anchor, like a chassis for the body.
Exactly.
Around the, you know, if you could go around, around the pelvisy area, a very secure location, you know, and that feels like that would be almost a better place to kind of bungee jump from. To be attached from in a bungee jump.
Yeah. They call it the bum-gee jump, Alistair. Satisfying.
It genuinely is the bum-gee jump. All right, I'm writing down bum-gee jump. Oh, it's a shame it's not bum-gee bump.
You'd be folded in half, right? I think as you fall, presumably. Or certainly as you rise, you'd be folded in half, going up butt first in the rebound.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, maybe. I guess you're right. You could be.
I feel like you'd
I think it's just like your legs just wouldn't be the, you know, they just wouldn't necessarily be the last part of you.
Mm.
They don't have to be anymore. That's something that bungee jumpers have had forced upon them in the past, but that day has ended today with bungee jump.
Breaking news. This should be breaking news.
Yes. Oh, we have some breaking extreme sports.
Breaking.
Vans. You know Vans, the shoes and the brand that kind of used to have Vans Warped Tour? What do you think about that name? Naming some shoes Vans.
I tell you what, I like it. Do you think there should also be some shoes called motorbikes?
Or automobiles. Yeah, motorbikes.
Everybody shoes. Loves motorbikes. Motorbikes well, are so shoes. Cool. Yeah, that's true. There's boat shoes. There's Vans shoes. Here we go. Now we're really getting somewhere, Alistair. This is good. This is good.
Yeah. Now there's helicopter parents. And then...
And hang on. And
the shoes of helicopter parents, yeah.
And there's that movie Rocket Man with Felden Jones. And then there's bicycles. There's the bicycle kick in soccer.
And they're wearing shoes.
Oh, wow, okay.
So it all comes back together.
Yes,
it all comes back around in the end, doesn't it? Especially when you're doing a bicycle kick.
No. people do the bicycle kick, right, in soccer.
Yeah.
But nobody does the bicycle header. So this is where, because the bicycle kick is where the ball is up above your head and you do a flip in order to kick it in the opposite direction. But what about the bicycle header? This is where the ball is on the ground level, where one would traditionally use the feet to kick it. But what if you were to do a forward flip and use your head to kick the ball backwards?
Oh, yeah. So your head kind of grazes the ground.
The ground, yes, down there. Yeah. The ground level, where everybody else's feet are.
And so so if you're doing a forward flip, is it hitting you in the back of the head?
The forward flip, no.
Or are you doing a back flip? An extended back flip.
I don't know if I know.
I think that's how you would hit it forward.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yes, that's right. Yes, that's correct. If you wanted to hit it forward, you would do a backflip and hit it with the back of your head. But if you want to hit
front
it,
of your head.
I disagree. I disagree.
Oh, no, you're right there. Yeah, you are right there.
Thank you.
Once.
I mean, I don't think this has been attempted, and this could be the thing that blows the game of soccer wide open.
Yeah. Absolutely.
A new kick. This will be like in Strictly Ballroom, right? But instead of everyone clapping and saying new steps, it's new kicks for soccer. Mm.
Yeah, I wonder if there's a new kick that they could create for soccer, which is where you kick with the bottom of the foot, and it's a ball. It's a ball kicking thing, not like you're kicking your fellow opponents.
Right. So do you lie on your back like a baby, and then kick your feet towards the ball with the kicking with the bottom of your feet? I mean, it feels like if you could pull that off, that would be pretty impressive. You're rolling around.
Yeah.
Mm.
You lie down.
Like a baby. Like a baby. Thank you.
So I guess it's like a, let's say the opposing goalie has cleared the ball, right? So it's up in the air. You're somewhere just after halfway, right? And you can see it's coming for you. So you lay down on the ground like a baby.
Yes.
You put your legs up and then you spring them back towards you. You coil them up like a spring.
Mm-hmm.
And then as it's about to land on you, you release the coil and you hit it with both legs, double the power.
Yes.
Right?
That's and just then maths. You
and I assume it just goes straight back into the opposing goal.
I'm very excited. As you know, guys who love to brainstorm, and who would love to be employed by large organizations to reinvent their way of thinking, I think it's about time FIFA or maybe Real Madrid got some outsiders in to give them some ideas. I think that's what they need in soccer. Guys who've never played it, right? Coming in and saying, look, have you tried this?
Exactly. You could also have it so that you could be, instead of laying down on the ground, you could be laying on two other guys who are on all fours.
yeah, great.
You know, and so it's like one of those kind of like flying V moves where they go, all right, activate the baby kick, like that. And then two guys get down, and they're kind of like two back-to-back cows, and then they help position you. They're like maybe two butt-to-butt cows.
Butt-to-butt cows, yeah, cows going butt-to-butt.
Ass to ass, the coach yells out, ass to ass. The two guys get down, they say, now baby, get the baby on there. Like that. And then it's the goalie, it's one of the defenders, and then the third defender is laying on top.
Yes.
Like a baby. The goal is wide open. If this fails, this fails big time. But it's never failed in practice, and so they go for it.
That's really good. I'd kill to see that, and then I'd love to see the movie, the inspiring movie about these people. And how
do you think that if you killed to see this? Like, you would be able to take your eye off of the dying person that you just killed, or that you were killing, you know? Do you think you've killed them before they died? Like, if they're gonna die.
Yes.
And then now they're just dying. Do you think you've already done the killing?
Like,
your bit is done.
Yeah, my work here is done. Absolutely.
Yeah. Now you're just waiting for the body to do its work, which is failing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if it's a mortal wound, I'm entitled to walk away. You know, I'm leaving them for dead, and I think that's this exact. You know, yeah, that's my yeah. I don't know what I'm saying here, but yes, I think
for
that's fine.
Dead.
Like when I go to the checkout at a cafe or a shop. And I tap my card on the FPOS terminal, and I walk away
knowing that it's already been rejected.
I say it's no, it's been left for paid. That
I do the same thing, but I go and as I tap it, I say, I'll forget it. And I walk away knowing that it's going to be rejected since I have no income. And then I, yeah, the same thing as you said, but the negative version.
But the other version.
Oh, I got very tired during that sentence.
Alistair,
Oh my gosh.
Me too.
Oh, what happened?
I think what's nice about this new arrangement that we've got is now it's evening over there and it's early morning over here. Now we both get to be tired, but different types of tired. That's the exciting new development. You're on the way down and I'm on the way up. But
yeah, it adds a new dynamism to the show. You know, there's like, I think there's enough tiredness differential between us that there's some kind of electric charge.
Mm. I think that, you know, we've managed to keep the essential core of the podcast, which is two tired guys try to be creative, but by diversifying the forms of lethargy that we are experiencing, it does give it this sort of, like, you know, stereo kind of feeling of like there's two different things. There is a dynamism to the stasis that we're experiencing. Dynamic lethargy. That was dynamic.
I wonder, you know, like how there's the, you know, there's the way that you can, sorry, you actually had an idea just then.
You're not going to like it, Alistair.
Yeah.
It's about what's his name? Buckminster Fuller and his theory of Dymaxian theory. Dynamic maximum tension was his design philosophy for things like the geodesic dome and the Dynamax car. But my idea is for dynamic maximum lethargy. See, it's absolutely nothing. But man, there was a lot of boring details. It was a car that he designed along the according to the philosophy of if you ever saw a geodesic dome and thought, I wish that was a car, well,
yeah. It looks like a submarine combi.
Yeah.
His car.
Yeah, but it's really weird. The driver sits way out over the front wheels. Doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I love that. I love a bit of forward weightedness.
Well, it's like what we talked. It's like the what we've talked about with animals, where that like a dog, or apart from humans, every animal goes everywhere head first at all times.
Insane design.
Yeah. And it's the same with the Dymaxian car. What would it be like?
Yeah.
To drive a dog.
What would it be like to drive a dog?
Doggy style.
Yes, Andy.
Mm.
Yes. Hound's way is how what's her name describes it.
Who does that? That's funny.
It was one of my favorite comedians whose album I listened to years and years ago called Quality Notions. And she's apparently been performing a version of that album, but that has been more blowjob themed for years, on stages. And it's now just become a Netflix special, Jacqueline Novak.
Oh, wow.
And so it was just released. Yeah, it's called Get On Your Knees is the name of the thing. And so, but it's not all, like, it's one of the most tasteful, like, fellatio-themed pieces of artwork that you'll ever enjoy.
Gosh, fellatio.
You should watch it with your beloved.
It's a fantastic, such a beautiful word for that act.
Thank you very much.
Like, are there Latin words for all the sex acts, and do they all sound that good?
Yeah. I wonder what they would do with the 69, you know, what they would, how they would name it in Latin land.
Oh, well, I mean, would they have to use Roman numerals? I don't know if it would, I don't know if it's translatable to Roman numerals, because what would it be?
Yeah.
Now 50, that's L. So 69 in Roman numerals would be L X I X. L X I X. Nice.
L X I X. Yeah.
I guess it wouldn't be nice though, would it? It would probably be Benno or something like that.
But it kind of means almost a different thing. It's like a foot next to an anus.
Yeah.
Next to a finger next to an anus.
Yeah, well, that's a kind of... Is that a kind of 69 where one person has their foot in somebody's anus and the other person has a finger in their anus?
Yes. No. I think that is a form.
I don't think it is.
Wait, now before when you were talking about the... When you went into that thing... Oh, man, I'm not going to remember. So, but you know what? The power of the touring... Forget it. I was about to try to come up with the version, the fingering version of with toes. Andy, today,
I mean, that is interesting. Feeling that's like that's a 69 where you can't bear to look at one another, right? Or no, but I guess in a regular 69, you're not looking at one another, right? You're not looking at one another.
Oh, but what about this? It's a 69, but you're just pressing the back of your heads into the other person's butt crack.
So the 96.
Hey? Yeah, the 96. And you're trying to get it in there, and you're just trying to get them to feel something.
Yeah. Wow.
Maybe
I mean,
you oil the back of your head or something.
It feels like a 69 for enemies, right? Because it's like you're both walking away from one another. You've turned your back on
them. No, but you're not walking away. Yeah. You're not. You're walking backwards into each other.
You might be wanking away. You're pleasuring one yourself, but with the back of your head pressed into their butt crack.
I think I would like to see one video of this. the 96. It's very interesting, I think. Very interesting.
What's the most interesting sex move? Not necessarily the sexiest.
I mean, maybe... Oh, you know what? I think that you could actually use each other's butts as like a airline pillow. By getting your neck rod in there and just like having like tremendous neck support.
Yeah, but you're still got to be on your side for this to be feasible. So I don't think it would be...
Not necessarily. What if you were both in a big... spherical tunnel or like in a sphere, both supporting each other, you know, both standing up.
Okay, anyway, but then Andy, the sphere would have to be somewhere in space, and you'd have to have your own gravitational something or other. I think Andy, it would only work in space.
It doesn't matter. I think we need to think of positions that will work in space.
That's true. I wonder if Elon has got anybody on this for those long trips to Mars.
Oh, no, he wants to come up with these ones himself. Andy, I think that, as you know, I have a little bit of a limited time frame, so I think that we should go to three words from a listener.
I think that's a great idea, and I'm sure that when we read through the sketch ideas at the end of the episode, we're going to feel great about all of them. Especially some of these long pauses, which I hope you've also been writing down.
I've been writing them down, Andy.
What if two guys on the opposite side of the world weren't talking to each other? What would that be like? Well,
I don't think the pauses have been that long. No. Now, today's listener, Andy, is James Roy.
James Roy.
James Roy. Jeez, I just wonder, how long do you think James Roy has been sending in sketch ideas? It feels like the longest time.
Yeah. Yeah. And because his name is so short.
I mean, for the longest time.
I think what I like about James Roy is that I don't think you get that many people, certainly not on this podcast, where their first and last names are both just one syllable. You could just get through it so quick.
It's like if Tyra Banks' name was Ty Banks. Ty Banks.
Uh, That's the stupidest thing you've ever said, Alistair.
I'm glad that you enjoyed it, Andy, because it was almost nothing. Yeah. But luckily, it was something.
Well, I
the
think
stupidest
that's part
thing
of what
I've
makes
ever
it
said.
So stupid.
Yeah.
It's like if Tyra Banks' name was Ty Banks.
Yeah. Well, because of course, at first, after you said James Roy and you said people with one symbol of each name, I went, "Who's an example of that?" And I went, "Tyra Banks." I went, that doesn't work. I can easily fix this.
I can fix this. Look. But why throw away the idea just because it doesn't work in this situation?
Exactly. I mean, think about this one. Ba-o.
Is that Barack Obama?
Yeah. Owen.
Owen. Oprah Winfrey.
Owen. Oprah Winfrey, yeah. Bama.
Barack Obama.
Barack Obama.
It's Barry Manilow.
No, it's Barry Manilow.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Fuck, have we just discovered that you only need the first syllables of people's
What about
names?
This one, Andy? Toha.
Toha. Tom. No. Toha. I mean, that's one syllable anyway. Tom is one syllable anyway. Oh, I'm not sure.
Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks. Those are both single syllable names.
Yeah, I know. Got ya.
You got one.
James Roy. So now, thanks for that. James Roy. So today, James Roy sent in three words from a listener. So if you were interested in guessing the first word, then that would be delightful.
Three words from a listener. That's even and one more word than there are syllables in his name.
Yeah,
this is probably the longest phrase that James Roy's ever had to conceive of. Okay, first word is lasagna.
Oh, God. It had the same right number of syllables. No, but it's gingerly.
Gingerly. We might have done these words before.
Oh, no.
Second word, licking.
No, Andy, no. Blondly.
Oh, no, we haven't done this. Gingerly, blondly. Or gingerly, strawberry-ly.
Andy?
Hmm?
Brunette-ly.
Oh. Gingerly, blondly, brunette-ly. Wow. Okay. What about this?
By the way,
you're at a glory hole, pleasuring somebody. Right. And you notice that they have blonde pubic hair, and you say,
"You say, oh, Andy, your penis is so big."
Yeah, that's correct. What do you like? What do you think of this idea?
Yeah,
and you say, "Ooh, do the drapes match the carpet?" That's the only way that I
and
can
then
think
and
about
the
it.
Person behind the wall says, "Well, actually, that reminds me of the Dynamax vehicle."
Buckminster Fuller had an interesting thing to say about this.
Sorry. Okay, where were you heading with this gingerly, blondly, brunettely?
No, that was all. I was just saying, you know, that thing that you have to say when you meet a blonde person, which is, do the carpets match the drapes? Well, I was just thinking
I didn't know you
had
to say that to a blonde person.
Yeah.
Because until the last few years, I didn't even realize it was possible for people to have different colored pubes. I thought everybody had to have dark pubes.
No. Fortunately not.
Just seems
God
insane.
God has given us the right to...
What about your armpit hair? Blonde?
Also blonde. Well, sort of almost transparent.
Really?
It looks like fishing wire.
Like a... Sort of like a polar bear's armpits.
Exactly. Yes. Anyway, but
so what color is your actual skin then?
My
is
skin.
That the one that's,
my skin's
is that
black.
Black?
Yeah.
Your skin's black.
Anyway, I feel like by you failing to acknowledge there being anything at all about my thing with the pubes, it feels like I just brought up glory holes For no reason, and I'm feeling uncomfortable.
Okay.
Do you understand what I was trying to do with that? Do you acknowledge?
Does the carpet match the drapes?
Yeah, but do the drapes?
So you're
match
doing
the
opposite.
You're doing. I'm doing the opposite. Do you? Can you acknowledge that there might have been something there, even if it's nothing good?
Yeah, I can acknowledge that there was something there, like that. It was just the opposite, right?
Mm. Exactly.
Yeah.
What about?
I apologize.
What about this, Alistair? This is something. This is a thought I had that I'm going to, up front, say is probably not an okay to thought to have, right? And
okay.
Might make me a bad person in some way. I'm not sure of the details of how this, how it does.
Before
that
you
yet.
Say it,
yes.
Before we leave the glory hole,
no, we're not this? Leaving. It's another glory hole related idea.
Okay, great. But what about this? So you're going to glory hole. Something this person puts their stuff through, and then the person starts eating all of the hair, and then leaves.
They eat some leaves as well. Wow, that's weird.
So then the person's like, "Oh, that's interesting. What's happening?" You go, "Oh, ow! I pulled out some hair. Oh, yeah. Oh, I pulled out some. Stop like that." And then you look down. No hairs anymore.
You pull,
and the person is gone.
They're gone. They've just grazed upon it. They've nibbled it down.
And there's some kind of pube vampire.
instead of saying "I do not drink wine," they say "I do not eat grass." They only eat pubes. I think a pube vampire. I think I might like this idea even more than the piss vampire that we came up with, because this one is sort of like a vegetarian vampire in a way, aren't they? Because the pubes are definitely, even more than the hair on the head, it definitely is the grass of the body. So
that's right.
I mean,
and you can picture them sometimes. You may be like, as a snack, that they're just at home and they've got those like strips of hair that's been like that's stuck in wax that's been from beauticians that have like waxed people.
Wow!
And they're just kind of like picking out the hairs and eating that as a snack like that.
Oh, it's incredible. Yeah, just a bag of hair.
We could
I think that's really good.
A movie where all these pube vampires live in one house together.
It's called
What We Do With the Pubes.
It's really good.
Yeah.
What we do in the shadows. What we do with the pubes. We eat them.
In brackets, we eat them. Because we're in the second brackets, because we're pube vampires.
Great. Great. Do you need to go, Alistair? Do I need to let you
leave?
I
do need to go, so I apologize that I'm just in a tiny bit of
a... Well, then, no, that means I don't have time to tell people my horrible idea.
Well, you know, I think write it down, put it somewhere where somebody that loves you can find it at some point and be shocked. And then, I mean, I guess, you know, and just because, I mean, maybe it'll also be great for you to not say it out loud, I want to hear it at some point.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
It might be nothing as well. You might hear it and you'd be like, that's not even horrible. It's just
a waste of
my time.
It's just Andy being a prude.
Mm. All right, Alistair. Let's go. Let's go through the sketch ideas quickly.
Oh, yeah, no. Andy's dream, Bruce Springsteen ruins a song Andy wrote.
Wow, you wrote that down. That's incredible.
Yeah, oh, we interrupt this program. We have some breaking art. And then there's a reporter reacting live. Then we have using art to bypass brain security and send people insane. We have people with garbage bag full of dog shit to drive you mad. Feldon Johns, Rocket Man, but Bush poem. Sequel to fishing dance move and other animal murdering dance moves.
Right.
Bungee jump. We've got the baby... ground kick, get new brains in to come in to come up with new soccer ideas.
Yes.
And then we have the 96 and we have pube vampire.
I think that new soccer idea thing is good because, like, it's a bit like that Wayne Gretzky thing about he was the one who scored from behind the goal or whatever the fuck that was, right? Because he'd done it so much that he was able to think of that. But I also feel like people who'd never done hockey before or knew anything about would have been able to come up with that idea. Maybe much quicker.
Yeah.
It's not the 10,000 hours. It's the 0 hours.
Yeah, and then you got to get back to that. You got to 10,000 hours, so because you need four zeros just to make up to make up the one zero that you lost.
Exactly. Once you get a one in there, you need a whole lot more zeros to balance it out. All right, Alistair, let's go. Thank you. That was a good one as well. We appreciate you listening to the podcast. Hey, Alistair, you had a listener come to a gig that you did in Canada.
Yes. Big hello to Felix and his partner. Felix is actually from Australia, but lives in Montreal and is like the opposite. His partner said that he's like the opposite of me. He moved over when he was 13. And is now, like, still speaks with an Australian accent, but knows how to speak French in Montreal.
That's amazing. You guys should never touch. I hope you didn't touch because you might explode.
We didn't allow that. We wouldn't have allowed that, Andy. We knew what the dangers were. We could we could smell it straight away. But we did 96. Because we were complete enemies, but we put enough grease between us that we never did touch.
Oh, that's
anyway.
Good.
Me and Felix did not grease and touch in that way. I'm sorry. Sorry, Felix. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening. And
we love
you're not going to believe this. Love
you.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.